for him. They don't know I'm coming, but I'm coming. And then, so I'm gone then. Then I come back. And then Brother Rudy flies in on Friday when I fly in on Friday. And then we go to Alaska. And then I won't miss Wednesday. So it'll be September before I get to chapter 16. So please hold your place, sir. Amen. All right, Revelation chapter 15. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. So now we're going to hear some of the voice of victors, all right? And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, and stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and they sung the song of Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee. For thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony of heaven was open. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Father, I pray tonight you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, thank you. As I studied this again this morning, I just glorified your holy name that I don't have to go through this. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that the Christian does not have to go through this terrible, terrible, terrible time, this terrible stage of this world that you said, because of their foolishness and because of their wickedness, that you were going to bring judgment. Lord God, I pray you'd help us tonight as we look into the Word of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1 through 4, John sees seven angels holding the seven vials of God's wrath, poised for action. They're ready to go. This wicked world is about to drink the wine of the wrath of God. But therefore, the angel poured out the judgment. There is a interlude of blessing, and God, once again, God reassures his faithful people. I'm glad about that. I'm glad that God says, you know, it's going to be okay. When troubles come and hardships come in our lives, and we don't know which way to turn, God seems to always send somebody to reassure. Rich Young wrote me the other day on an email and said, hey, Ray Alvarado had a stroke. And I said, Rick, I said, send me his address. I sent his address, and he sent a phone number. I called that number, and it was a hospital there in Las Vegas. And his wife answered, Lisa. And I said, Lisa, I said, and I talked to her a little bit. And then I said, will you call me back when you're out of the room? Because people that have an injury like that still can hear. And I wanted to ask her some very, very probing questions so I could pray for him better. And she called me back on my cell phone, and I said, I don't know if you know this or not about my wife. And I explained what was going on, and she said, how do you do it? I said, I don't know. I don't know how we do it. We just day to day. And I said, when I talk to you now, then I think about it. You know, talk to me. Yesterday I stopped in at the North 40, and I noticed a couple ladies and an elderly gentleman. And I noticed he was by these, what do you call them, Jim? What do you call those big saws that have the saw blade up here in your run? Table saw. Thank you. I appreciate you helping me there. And And he all of a sudden he goes over and it's a big one. He starts picking this thing up and both the ladies, "No, no, Dad, no, no, honey, no, no, Dad, no, no, honey." And I thought, boy, that's Alzheimer's. And they were trying to get him away, but boy, he was bound determined he was going to bring that table saw home. That's not good for a person that has Alzheimer's to have a table saw, amen. But anyway, we don't understand this stuff. But God always, let me tell you something. You go through trouble, sorry, I'm going to tell you something. You listen to me now. You listen to this old preacher. He always gives you reassurance. He's always there and says, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Or he'll send somebody by. And Lisa says, "I am so glad you called me. I needed to hear from you." So when we go through some stuff, don't be so upset about what you're going through. Look for places that you can use what you've gone through. I was talking to somebody a while back, and they were telling me about some issues that happened in their life. And I said, you know what? You are a prime candidate to help others. You've been through this. You've seen the heart, and you've seen the hearts of people what happened, and you can help. So just remember that this interlude in verse chapter 14, verse 10, before those angels poured out the judgment, God gives the reassurance to his faithful people. John saw the believers from the tribulation who had overcome the beast and his system. These are the people who love not their lives unto the death. And since they did not cooperate with the satanic system and receive the mark of the beast, you and I know they're not going to be able to buy or sell anything. And I'm just reading another place about these tags in your arm, or what do they call them things, chips. And they said that if you don't have those, you can't go to work some places. So it's coming. You say, "Oh, I'm so afraid." Why? You're not going to be here. If you got Jesus in your heart, you're not going to be here. You're going to be gone. Absent body, present with the Lord. Come of God's Son, dead in Christ arise, and we who remain shall be caught up and will ever be with the Lord. They were totally dependent on the Lord for the daily bread. Some of them went to prison. Some of them were slain. But all of them practiced faith and patience. This entire scene is reminiscent of Israel going through Exodus. The nation had been delivered to Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. And the Egyptian army had been destroyed in the sea. In thankfulness to God, the Israelites stood by the sea and they sang a song. And it was called the Song of Moses. Tribulation saints, whom saw and heard, were standing by the sea of glass in heaven, just as the Israelites stood by the Red Sea, singing the song of Moses and singing the song of the Lamb. The song of Moses is recorded over there in Exodus chapter 15. You want to take a look at that. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation, and on and on. There's 144,000 that sang this song, and over there, and remember Revelation 14:3, and nobody else could sing it. That's just their song. There are certain things. For instance, we can sing the Marines hymn, but we can't sing it. We can sing the Air Force hymn, but we can't sing it. Only you men that have served in the Air Force, that's your song. It's like my the song that I sang in college when we had our football players. We'd sing the song. Man, us guys, we could really sing loud. You know, and I don't know if they're good, but we sang loud and sing that old Pillsbury song, amen. But you wouldn't want to sing it. I go down to Hiles Anderson, and I like to sing it. I wish Hiles Anderson was on there. I would have gone there, but Bethany can sing the Hiles Anderson hymn, and that's her hymn. That's her. It'll always be hers. On the hills of Owatonna, with lakes of azure hue. Been a long time, folks. But anyway. So nobody could sing their song, the 144,000. When Israel returned from Babylon captivity and reestablished the government and restored the temple worship, they used the same refrain the dedication of the temple in Psalm 118, verse 14, the Lord is my strength and song and has become my salvation. In the future, when God shall call his people back to their land, Isaiah prophesied that they will sing this song again, and you will find it in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 15 through 12, 6. Now, the Song of Moses indeed is an important song in the hymnal of the Jewish nation. This scene would give great assurance and endurance to the suffering in the age of the church. It's a great song. It shows that it is impossible to be victorious. It shows that it is possible to be victorious over the world system. These people, during the tribulation period, they overcame it. So that just shows you and I, encourages us that, yeah, trouble's coming, heartache's coming, the craziest things show up. But God said, hey, I want you to know, these people made it, so can you. One does not have to yield to the mark of the beast. Through the blood of the Lamb, we are delivered. Our Lord's work on the cross is our spiritual exodus accomplished by His blood. In their song, the tribulation saint praised God's work as well as His ways. The earth dwellers certainly would not praise God for His work, and they would never understand His ways. And you see that today. There's people at your work that they don't understand it. I'm talking to a relative today, and I'm trying to talk to him about spiritual things, and just, over his head, and sometimes they make fun of it and laugh about it. God works are great and marvelous, and His ways are just and true. By the way, I want you to note that there is no complaint of these 144,000. They felt fortunate to be permitted to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's incredible, amen? Because, boy, there's a lot of griping and complaining going around of people that have troubles and sorrows. I don't want that to happen to me. Why do I always do this? You didn't hear that from the 144,000. It would save a great deal of sorrow if we would acknowledge God's sovereignty. He's dragging those kids in the emergency room. Why am I going to the emergency room? Yesterday I had to do something and I had to go back and take something back. But it gave me an opportunity to this man that I had witnessed to before to again invite him to church Sunday. And I hope he's going to be here Sunday. And, you say, well, it's wasting your time. Everything you do is not a waste of time. Now, there is some waste of time. You want me to tell you what waste of time is? Go in your garage, clean your garage, and you find something that's broke. And you start working on it. And then all of a sudden you look at the clock and Devin's got to go home. That's how my life is when Devin goes home. Life stops. Thank you, Devin. Folks, I hope you tell her how much you appreciate her helping my wife. I told her the other day, I said, I couldn't do anything without your help. Appreciate it. Thank you. The phrase King of Saints here could also be called King of Ages, King, the Eternal King. Nothing happens by accident with God. The singers seek to glorify God and honor Him. The very praise of this first angel proclaimed in Revelation chapter 14, verse 7. And then we go to chapter 15. He announces God's judgment that are about to manifest. The voice of fulfillment. The great voice out of the temple commands the seven angels to pour out the contents of the vials. Chapter 1. Of chapter 16, after which he announces. Then he cries, it is done. The mystery of God is finished. No more mystery now. There's no doubting now. The martyrs in glory had asked, how long? How long? Revelation chapter 6. And now their cry would be answered. This is how long. It's done. Seven angels emerge from the heavenly temple. And the temple, there it is over in chapter 11, verse 19. Because their work is holy and their judgment that they bring. Verse 6. Here the angel's clothing reminded of the priestly garment, divine ministry. When the Old Testament tabernacle and the temple were dedicated, these earthly buildings were filled with God's glory. Verse 8, but now the heavenly temple is filled with smoke. This smoke likewise evidence of God's glory and power. It's evidence that he's there. Then we go to chapter 16 and verse 1. Each of the angels has a specific target for the contact of the vial. The earth dwellers have already suffered from the seal of the trumpet judgment, but this final series of judgment will climax God's plan leading to Babylon fall and Jesus Christ return to the earth. And that's what we're looking for. Amen. That's going to be a great deal. Look at here, the grievous swords, verse 2. The vile judgment reminds of the sixth plague of Egypt. Only those that have submitted to the beast, who have rejected the warning of the first angel. Revelation chapter 16, verse 10 suggests that these sores do not disappear from the time of the fifth vial. These people are still in pain from the first judgment. Yet there's pain, and will not cease, and it will not cause them to repent. You wonder, how much does it take for a person to repent? I've seen people in terrible car accidents. I've seen people that terrible things happen to them, and they have no time for God. In fact, they even get mad at God because of it. And they don't even believe in God, but they're mad at God now. Isn't that crazy? How can an atheist use God's name in vain when he doesn't even believe in a God in the first place? Why do you curse my father's name? You don't believe in him. William R. Newell, if you can find any books by William R. Newell, every once in a while I'll tell you this. Some of you people write it down. William R. Newell, N-E-W-E-L-L, used to say, if men are not won by grace, they will never be won. Grace is something that God gives you don't deserve. It is awesome thought to consider almost the entire population of the world is suffering from this painful malady that nothing can cure. Constant pain affects a person's disposition. Amen? Let me read that again. Constant pain affects a person's disposition. You ever been around a person that has a chronic backache? Everybody ever been around anybody that's got a chronic headaches? Anybody been around a person that has chronic, they have like arthritis and they just can't get away from the pain? They're most difficult people to be around. It's pitiful. I met them. I've been around them. Human race during that period certainly is not going to be any better. It's going to be worse. Because everybody's in pain. Pain. Some kind of sores. I don't know what they are. Then verse 9, he turns the water into blood. These are the vile judgments now. They turn the water into blood. The second and third vial parallel the first plagues of Egypt over there in Exodus chapter 7. The second vial will center on the sea. And the third will turn the inland waters, the rivers of the mountains, into blood. I was reading the deal the other day. It says Michigan, the 10th or 15% of all fresh water is in Lake Michigan. Something like that. I wish somebody would do that on your little phone and ask Sherry. Not Siri, it's Sherry. I know. When the second trumpet judgment occurs, a third part of the sea becomes blood. A third part of the sea becomes blood. But this judgment and the entire system of the sea will be polluted. The third trumpet made the third part of the inland waters bitter with wormwood, but the third vial will turn all the waters into blood. You know, there's nothing like a good glass of cold, crystal water. Can you imagine? Thirsty, and there's no water to drink. And if you're going to drink, it's going to be bitter with blood in it. Heaven gives justification for the terrible judgment. The earth dwellers have shed the blood of God's people so that only right that they should drink that blood. In God's judgment, the punishment fits the crime. Pharaoh tried to drown the baby boys. And what did God do? He drowned all the chariots and the greatest warriors known at that time. Haman planned to hang Mordecai and the gallows to exterminate all the Jews. But he himself was hanged in the gallows and his family was exterminated. You know, there's a lot of people out there that say, well, it's not fair. Well, you shouldn't have done it in the first place. Kid at his camp, he did something. I said, what'd you do that for? Well, I don't know. I said, well, now you can't do something. He said, well, that's not fair. And, you know, the answer to him is, I didn't do it. You're the one that did it. And you'd like to say, you stupid head, but you can't say that, you know. So that would offend that little one. But he was. But anyway. King Saul refused to obey God and slay the Amalekites. What happened to King Saul? Amalekites killed him. Then it says, verse 8 and 9. You got it there? And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to, read it, scorch men. We have just went through 23 days of over 90 degrees in Montana. Creeks and watersheds are drying up. They're trying to ship hay up to the places in Montana because they've been burned out. But they have no water for the horses and cows to drink. It's a mess. I wouldn't be surprised if they shut down hunting this year. Did it before. All earthly life depends on the light of the sun. In previous judgment, the part of the sun had been dimmed, but not this time. God turned her up. Amen. I told my cousin just stopping to see us today. They were in Las Vegas 2 days ago, and it was 114 degrees. He said, we couldn't get away from the sun. We couldn't get away from it. Just couldn't. How many have been around that stuff? Why in the world do you people want to go down to Arizona and live down there? What in the world's wrong with you? At least at night we get kind of cool here. Amen. Just trying to help you out there. But now the heat of the sun has increased. Anyone who has been in the desert knows how merciless the sun and heat can be. Remember, too, how many have been watering your yard? What happens if you don't water your yard? Unbelievable. So we've got the sun turning up the heat. But what happened just before that? The water did what? Turned to blood and wormwood. Let me read you what Malachi chapter 4 and verse 1 says. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Then we get darkness. This is the next vial. Verse 10, 11. This is not worldwide darkness. Only the beast, his throne, and the kingdom are affected. It reminds us of the fifth trumpet, the ninth plague that happened in Israel. In Egypt. Children of Israel, they had light, but the Pharaoh and his people didn't. His image in the temple of Jerusalem, so it may be the center of operations, or perhaps the ruling from Rome, incorporated with the apostate church headquarters there. When God sent the ninth plague to Egypt, the entire land was dark except for Goshen, where the Israelites lived. The judgment of the fifth vial is just the opposite. There is light for the world, but darkness reigns at the headquarters of the beast. Certainly this will be a great blow to the image. He's going to have a hard time explaining that one, amen. Then the Euphrates dryads up. How many have been over there? You ever see the Euphrates?
Okay.
They said it was a magnificent thing until Hussein came in there. Hussein. He ruined it. Took away the tributaries and everything. But anyway, that is a great river. And that famous river is going to dry up. And at that time, armies of demonic horsemen will be released. Now, and armies from the nations of the world will gather at the great battle of Armageddon. The drying up of the river will make it possible for armies of the kings of the east, which is China, Japan, and they're coming. They're going to come to invade Palestine, the Holy Land. We often hear the Battle of Armageddon, but nowhere in the Bible does the Bible use that phrase. September the 2nd, 1945, General Douglas of MacArthur supervised signing of the peace treaty with Japan, and he said, "We have had our last chance. If we will not devise something greater and more equitable than war, Armageddon will be at our door." Isn't that amazing? Said right in front of everybody. And they took it down. They wrote it in the paper. The name Armageddon comes from the Hebrew word Megiddo, the hill of Megiddo. The word Megiddo means place of troops and a place of slaughter. And it's called the Plain of Esdraelon, the Valley of Jezreel. The area is about 14 miles wide, 20 miles long, and it forms what Napoleon called the most natural battlefield of the whole earth. Anybody been there? I stood on the Mount Carmel and I looked over the Valley of Jezreel, or the Valley of Armageddon. It is some amazing place. It's a plain. It is flat. Amazing thing. Standing on Mount Carmel, the overlooking the Great Plain, you can well understand why they said that this is a great gathering in the armies of the nations. It was on this plain that Barak defeated the armies of Cana. Gideon met the Midianites. King Saul lost his life. Titus, the Roman army, used the natural corridor. The Crusaders in the Middle East and General Allenby used it to defeat the Turks. He needs to go over there and do it again, amen? You know what Turks are, don't you? Muslims. 1917. From a human viewpoint, it appears that the armies of the nations gathered on their own, but John makes it very clear it's God's plan. The Satanic Trinity, though demonic power influences the nation and causes the rulers to assemble their army, they will even work miracles and impress the rulers and cause them to cooperate. But all this will merely fulfill the will of God accomplished, and we'll read that in chapter 17:17 when we get that. The Gentile nations will look to Armageddon as a battle, but to God, He calls it the supper of the fowls of the earth. Jeremiah 12, Jeremiah 14 describes it as Israel's point of view. Since the beast has set up his image in the temple of Jerusalem, and since many of the Jews will not bow down before him, it is natural that the holy city should be the object of the attack. And they will make them come under. They think they're going to make them come under. Just like today, they're trying to make us Christians come under. We're going to come under. However, not only the Jews are involved, for God has a purpose for the Gentile nations as well. Joel 3, the parable of Zechariah's reference, and also makes it very clear that God will punish the Gentiles for the way they have treated the Jews. And the outcome of the battle is recorded in chapter 19. The Lord returns, defeats his army, and defeats the wicked one's army. Up to the city assembly of the marching army, created no problem for the Almighty God. Done. And when the nations rage and defy him, listen to what it says in Psalm 2. He that sitteth on the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. And then verse 17, 21, it's done. The devil and the prince of the power of the air so prepares this seventh vial, special effects and dominion. But the immediate result of a devastating earthquake that affects the cities and the nations, Satan's entire system now is about to be judged by God. His religious system, the harlot, Revelation chapter 70, his political and economic system, and the military system. The great city is probably Jerusalem. The prophet Zechariah prophesied an earthquake that would change the topographic of Israel. Right now, there's a fault that goes right between the Mount of Olives, and everybody keeps saying, boy, there's going to be an earthquake there. You know, they have ways of studying that, and they say, boy, there's going to be a tremendous earthquake there. Well, read your Bible, amen. But the key here is that Babylon shall fall. The beast's great economic system will fall. The subjugated of the people of the world will be completely destroyed by God. And added to the earthquake, there will be hailstones. And these hailstones, the Bible says, are a talent of silver which weighs 120 pounds. I don't know if you've ever been in a hailstorm before, but it ain't good. The judgment reminiscent of seventh plague of Egypt. Just as Pharaoh and the Egyptians' leaders will not repent, the earth dwellers will not repent. In fact, they will blaspheme God. No wonder the hail comes. The blasphemed are supposed to be stoned to death, the Bible says. Now, let me give you a review and I'm out of here. Reviewing these three chapters, there is sealed 144,000. They'll arrive at Mount Zion and praise God. There will be men that have never known a woman. The martyrs will also be in glory, praising God. John's message is clear. It is possible to be victorious over the beast and to be an overcomer. He is saying, you can get through the troubles of life. Even there's terrible things going on, God, you can still serve the Lord. The movement of the armies, confederation, nation, the worldwide opposition to God cannot hinder the Lord from taking care of His business. Men think that they are free. Listen to me. Men think that they are free to do as they please, but in reality, they are accomplishing the plan and purpose of God. Every generation of Christians have been able to identify with the events in Revelation chapter 14 and 16. There's always trouble. There's always been a beast oppressed God's people. There's always been a false prophet who tries to lead them astray. We have not been on the verge of Armageddon. We have always been, it seems like, just lately, on the verge of Armageddon. I don't know if you've been reading anything, but boy, I'll tell you what, the Russians are not happy. You say, well, it's all Trump's fault. Give me a break. Quit listening to those idiots. They're gearing up. People are gearing up. How about North Korea? Anybody hear any stories about what's going on there? Shot a missile the other day, went over 2,000 miles. Went higher than it ever went before. Now they said they can hit what they got now, they can shoot a rocket right into Chicago. Read. So, yeah, we're close, and we're seeing the shadow of prophecy coming. But let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. The church of God will not be on the scene at the time that this is happening. And I wrote, what blessed good news. I'm not going to be here. I don't care what anybody says. That's what the Bible says. It's not going to be here. But these are the last days. And the admonition of Revelation chapter 16 applies to all of us. Behold, I, Jesus, come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garment, lest he be walk naked, and they see his shame. Jesus Christ may return at any time, and it behooves us to keep our lives clean, and we should be watching, and we should be faithful. Hey, going to happen. Yes, it is. It's going to happen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let it rip. Oh, by the way, the Bible says in these last days, people won't be faithful anymore. They'll choose other things in life to do. Well, they'll choose their church. The way it is. I don't know about you. I told Mrs. Reeves, she cut my hair today and pretty up my wife's hair. And I said, Mr. Reeves, she said, see you tonight. That's the sweetest thing I ever hear from a church member. See you tonight. I said, Mrs. Reeves, thank you for being faithful. By the way, thank you for being faithful. You'll be rewarded for this. I promise you. That's what God's Word said. You'll be rewarded for it. Be faithful. She said, I don't feel good. I don't feel good either. She said, well, I'm tired. I'm tired too. I'm hungry. Not me. I eat beans and weenies tonight. I'm not hungry. But, hey, stay the course. Stay with it. Don't let up. Time's short. Father, bless you.